continuing with a different Isurim of Avelos, so we come to something that we're not quite sure whether we should even call it an Isur of Avelos. The Gemara does use the Lashon Asur, but as we're going to see as the Halakha develops a little bit, that is a little bit of a different type of an Isur than the other Isurim. The Gemara tells us that an Avel is in a Yetzir Pesach Beisel, and an Avel during the week of Shiva is not supposed to leave his house. If you ask most people what's the most popular halacha of Avelos, that they would probably tell you that in covering the mirrors. They would tell you, covering the mirrors, we said it's not halacha anyway, it's a minig, and the isra of leaving a house. Avel doesn't go anywhere. Avel also lets us be Pesach Beisel. So the question is, what exactly is the nature of this din of the isra of let's say it's Pesach Beisel? So the post can point out that if you look in the Gemara, it sounds like this is not on par with the regular Isuri Avelos. The Gemara speaks about the possibility of an Avel leaving his house to go be Benachem Avel somebody else. So the Gemara draws a distinction and says that an Ovel during the first 3 days, so he shouldn't leave his house for anything. But after the first 3 days, even though the Suri Avelos is still fully intact for the entire week, after the first 3 days, he's permitted to go Pesach Beisel to be Menachem Ovel somebody else. So the post can point out that in reality, we don't really apply this anymore, because we're not such great Menachem Avelos. You know, the Nichem Avelos that we do, the world will come to an end. The other Avel will understand that the first Avel doesn't come to be Menachem Avel. So the minig is that we don't do this, that the Avel doesn't go even to be Menachem Avel. But we did in the Gemara, Mikra Din, the Avel is permitted to go with Pesach Beis, so if he's going to be Menachem Avel, somebody else. Even though we don't really practice this Kula B'Zman Hazeh, there's a little bit of a remnant of this Kula, of all places in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So Hilchos Tisha B'Av, the post can point out that if a person sitting Shiva during Tisha B'Av, and he wants to come to Shul for Kinos, so he's permitted to do so, even though in theory you can make kinos in his house, but it's not going to happen. He's not going to really have a kinos in his house properly, so he's permitted to come to participate in the kinos. Why is that? He's not allowed to be Yotzei Pesach Beis. So the answer is that's like going to a Beis Avel. Since Tisha B'Av has the status like Avelos, everybody, all Klai Yisrael is an Avelos in Tisha B'Av. So that's the equivalent of leaving his house to go to another Beis Avel. Even though, if you follow that model of the Gemara, it should have only been true during the last 4 days, and the post came right in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that we'll make it even during the first 3 days. So the answer is that the tzarech is such an unbelievable need that to go out to the Beis Avel, to go out to the Beis Tisha B'Av, to go out to the Shul B'Kinos, so we have a right to make it even during the first 3 days. So again, so the way this halacha really is practiced was Mana Gemara, that an Ovel is allowed to go from his house to another Ovel's house is not really practiced B'Zman Hazeh. We have adopted a quasi-application of this vis-a-vis Tisha B'Av, even though it kind of takes a little bit of its own rules into account. But the question becomes, where did this idea come from? How is it mutter? Why is it mutter for the Ovel to violate any of these Suri Avelos? Just because he wants to be Menachem Ovel? Just because he wants the Kinnis? And Kinnis is not such a great mitzvah. So why is that permissible for him to leave his Beis Avel in order to do these other Avelos-oriented things? So the Chumash Adesha writes that you see from these kulas that the issue of going because of Beis Avel is not a real issue. It's not like not washing, it's not like learning, it's not like wearing shoes. It's not for the really Suri Avelos. Rather, it's part of more of a mindset that we don't want the Avel to be Masiach Das Mir Avelos, that we don't want the Avel to lose sight, to lose track of what he's supposed to be focusing on. So if he's going to be Yotzei Pesach Beis Avel, he's inevitably going to be, his mind's going to become off the Avelos. Now we understand, if we're sending him only to another Beis Avel, if we're sending him to go hear Kinnis, sending him to go participate in Tisha B'Av for davening, so that's not going to distract and forget. That'll add to his sadness. So since the Isra is not an absolute Isra, it's not an objective prohibition, it's more of a just to keep him in the right frame of mind. Therefore, if his Yetziri Pesach Beis Avel doesn't interfere with his mindset of Avelos, it's going to be permissible. It's based on this that the Chumash Adeshin, who was later quoted by the Ramah, Chumash Adeshin writes that what if the reason why the Avel wants to go be Pesach Beis Avel is not to be Menachem Avel for somebody else, not to go for Tisha B'Av, but he has to go for some technical reason, and he's going to go in a way that it's not really going to interfere with his Avelos. It's not going to be Masiach Das Min Avelos. So Chumash Adeshin writes, let's say he wants to leave at night. He has to leave his house at night. He has some big tzor, some big need or something. He has to leave at night. So Chumash Adeshin writes that leaving at night, who's he going to bump into in the street? Nobody walks in the street at night. Who's out at night? Okay, this is pre-Edison days. So it's 10 o'clock at night, it's Kol Rekam and Ashuk, to quote other areas of halacha. Mai says nobody there, and he has to take care of whatever things he has to take care of. So the Ramal calls from Tumas Hadesh, the Mikra Din would be okay, because that's not really considered to be a Masiach Das. He's going to spatzi around in the middle of the afternoon, when there are people walking around, that would be inappropriate. So it's based on this Ramal, this Tumas Hadesh, and the Minhag has become to be very lenient, especially in the last several years, that Avelim sometimes will go from one Beis Avel to another, naming their own Beis Avels. In the olden days, and I remember even as a kid, I remember people said shiv. They said shiv in one place. Nobody spatzied around 2 days here, 3 days here. Again, everything has changed. The whole approach to travel has changed. So now, Avelim, they start off in Eretz Yisrael, they come here and they go there. So what's that based on? So that's based on this Ramon, this Tumas Hadesh, that as long as the going is not for the purposes of enjoyment, it's not for stam teshmuz, but the going is really to enhance the Avelos, so we assume that that's not considered to be as chadas for the Avelos, and that Meikra Din would be okay. The poskim point out that when the oval switches from one place to another, so you should try to time it in such a way that it doesn't bump into people, doesn't talk, doesn't go into the car and go wherever he has to go and finish. To draw the distinction between day and night, like in the days of Tumas Hadesh, it's hard to believe it's manazeh. In the olden days, people were around and they tell no one walked the streets at night. It's manazeh. It's like it's shkios. It's 5 o'clock in the winter time, so now it's hetter to go outside. That doesn't make any sense. It's manazeh. It means you should try to time that he should leave the base of a late at night when nobody's walking around. He shouldn't come into bumping anybody. Just go into the car and come wherever he has to go. Some ikrit, and that would be okay. There were some poskim who don't like this practice. They thought that this is a little bit of a change in the tzur of the Avelos. Usually was observed. It's supposed to be in one place, and it's supposed to, at least in spirit, fulfill the din of Avel and Yatsu Bezal Beisel. But whatever, the minig has become very lenient in this. And again, Mikra Din, it's Mutta based on the Tumas Hadesh that's quoted by the Ramah. This Isser of an Avel and a Yotzim Bezal Beisel, so already the Rishonim discussed just how far that goes. What are some examples of places where the Avel should or should not go? So the Ramban quotes a discussion that he had with the earlier Rishonim, the Ritzgeyas, already from the days of the Goyim. That the Ramban has a discussion, let's say an awful middle of Shiva, on a regular non-Shabbos, a regular weekday, and there's no minyan in his house. Is there an issue for the awful to go to shul? Is that considered to be a Yitzhi Pesach Beisel? So the Ramban quotes from the Ritz Geyas that that should be okay, because it's a similar idea to the Tumas Hadesh, that the whole idea of any Yitzhi Pesach Beisel is that he shouldn't get distracted, he shouldn't end up schmoozing and talking with people about non-availus things. So the Ritz Geyas writes that if a guy is going to Daven Shacharis, going to Daven Chum Hayrav, who's he going to talk to? He's going to talk to people in shul. So Ritz Geyas says, people are going to talk in shul? I've never heard of such a thing. You're going to go down and you're going to leave. Finished. So the Ramban, I guess, maybe was a little bit more in sync with what was going on in shul. I don't know. So the Ramban writes, he thinks that there would still be a concern, even going to shul, maybe, that you'd see your best of face. So you don't have to go, we just have to go to shul. Unfortunately, people do end up schmoozing in shul. Whether before davening, after davening, or during davening, the mice of people, there is some schmoozing going on, and therefore that would also be included in the Isser Yitzir Beis of Beis. Nevertheless, the later post can point out, let's say there's really no choice. Let's say it's going to mean the Oval not being able to daven a minion for the whole week. Let's say they live in a small community, they can't provide a minion for the Beis Oval. And not only will they not be able to provide a minyan from Daven Ritzibo, he won't be able to say Kaddish. So that's already a whole different ballgame. So that already, many poskim quote, that if the purpose of the Avel going to Shul is Dafka, to enhance the Avelos, that's the only way for them to say Kaddish, and that's considered to be L'chavar Abeis, so that's not going to distract them from the Avelos, that's going to enhance the Avelos, and then we can justify the Avel leaving to go to Shul. So there are different opinions about this. So again, this is Shas and Chak circumstances. The Minhag Yisrael, of course, is to try to provide the Avel with a minion, so he doesn't have to even take into consideration this Isser of Yitzhak Pesach Beisel. But if a situation arises where it's just not practical, it's impossible to provide a minion, so then there are different opinions in the poskim whether he should or should not go to shul. I think the minhag is to be pretty lenient about this, especially for Avel, where it's a Kaddish, so we consider that to be enough for Tzarech, that falls under the general heading of the Tumas Hadesh and the Ramah. Whatever is done to enhance the Avelus would not technically be a problem. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Makaton continues with this Isser of an Avel in a Yotzer Bezal Beisel, and says that this Isser only applies for the first week, but then there are other Isserim that are related to this, namely that an Avel is supposed to be Mishana Makomo. So here the Gemara has a strange thing. The Gemara says that the second week of Avelus, which is usually not a unit of Halacha, but the second week of Avelus, so the Avel is allowed to be Yotzer Bezal Beisel, but it should be Mishana Makomo. he shouldn't sit in his regular place in shul. So this din of an ovel, even though he's permitted to leave the house to go to shul, but he should try to minimize, try to stay in a little bit of a different place. So even though Medina de Gemara, that only applies for the second week, the minhag has become to extend that for the entire period of Avelos. So for regular relatives, that applies for the entire 30 days. Of Avimo, the minhag ha'olam is that we extend this for the entire year. So that's the source for our practice, the Rambam writes, that an Avimo is Mishan Makomo the entire year of Avelos. What exactly does it mean, Mishan Makomo where? So we usually assume that means Mishan Makomo in Shul. Wherever his set place in Shul is, he should move. How much does he have to move? And again, the Ikra Din, it's only for the first week after Shiva, the minhag ha'olam is for the 30 days of the entire year of Avimo. How far does he have to move away? The Pesach Tshuva quotes that he has to move away Dalat Amos from where he was, because he's not going to move Dalat Amos. Dalat Amos is 4 Amos is still within your Makom, so you haven't been Mishana yet. So the later Pesach can point out that Shia of Dalat Amos really makes sense when you're sitting on benches. In many shuls, there are no seats per se, no chairs per se, it's just one big bench. So a guy's going to move over half an inch, so that doesn't mean anything. No one's going to be able to tell that he's Mishan Makomo, so he should move a significant amount that it's clear that he's a Mishan Makomo. Many shuls have chairs, so you have a chair, so you see the guy used to sit in that chair. No, it's not chair, it's clearly demarcated, there's a different chair. So that's probably okay. So that's for that. And then I guess that we usually send the oval because it's back a row. Poskim right, again, it's not Mikra Din, the Poskim right, you should try to go back a little bit, go back for the Aaron Kurdish a little bit. Almost when he's sitting ready in the last row, where does he go? Okay, so he's at the front, whatever it is. The person should try to make a little bit of a shini, a little bit of a hacker, that he's not sitting in the same place. What is the nature of this din, that an oval doesn't sit in his regular place? Is this also from the Isuri Avelos? So this is a very hard thing to understand, that this is really Isuri Avelos. And the fact that Chazal speak about it as being noeg only during the first 2 weeks of Avelos. 2 weeks of Avelos is not a shir of Avelos. We have dinim of one day Avelos, and we have the first 3 days, and we have the 7 days, and the 30 days, and the 12 months. 2 weeks is a modern shir, like we had last week. We spoke about the Yisr for a person to remarry after the wife dies, so they're not allowed to remarry for Gimel Regolim. So that shir of Gimel Regolim is also a very modern shir. It doesn't have anything to do with Chos Avelos. So that led many of the Rishonim to believe that that Issa wasn't really an Avelos type of halacha. It was based on something else, psychologically, whatever the other reasons were. So to over here, the Rishonim already discussed about whether this Issa of sitting in one's seat, either the Issa Mikra Din for the first 2 weeks, or the Minik for the rest of the Avelos, is this really rooted in Ochos Avelos? Is this some kind of a different type of halacha? This is somehow like some kind of a mindset. The guy's supposed to be in Golo, supposed to be different, some kind of a hacker or something. This is not the same as the issur of showering and shaving and clothing and those kinds of issurim. Manaf Kamina, at the end of the day, you have to do it anyway. So Manaf Kamina, whether we call it Ochos Avelos or not. So the Rishonim already have a discussion whether this din / minig applies on Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, we're going to talk about this soon. That's going to be the next major topic, the din of Avelos on Shabbos and Yontif. So when it comes to Avelos on Shabbos, there was a whole discussion, does an Avel observe Avelos on Shabbos? And basically, when all the dust settles, we pass in Shulchan Aruch a split. And when it's Avelos Bitsina, when it's private Avelos, he has to observe. When it's public Avelos, he doesn't observe. So we'll see, as we go on later today, what exactly that means practically. So the question becomes whether it's appropriate or inappropriate for the Avel to be Mishan Makomo on Shabbos. One of the svaras that suggested, already in the Rishonim, the Mocha Yosef already talks about this, that one of the svaras that suggested to justify doing this practice even on Shabbos, even though very often it's going to be Nikar, people are going to realize, oh, the guy's not in his regular seat, must be because he's in Avelos, that we normally smack up for Hasya. So the Mocha Yosef quotes a Gemara in the end of Baba Basra, but the Gemara is discussing all places of Basra. The Gemara is not the place to find the Chazavelos, but the Gemara is a whole sugya, it's not really the answer. It's already Dafkuf, so Dafkuf in most Masechtas is the end, but Basra is first getting started. So in Dafkuf and Basra, somewhere around there. So the Gemara is discussing selling burial plots. Whereas all the middle prachim, the 30 blot in the middle of Baba Basra, talk about if I sell my field, so this is including the sale, I sell my olive press, so my this, my sale, my that, all the different nuances of Mecha Chalemker. So right smack in the middle there, there's a long, long Mishnah about selling like family burial plots. Most people know that daf because there are nice pictures in that daf. There's whole diagrams there in the Gemara itself. So the Rashbams. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara describes a practice that that they used to have of, it's not exactly what we do today, but it was a practice at the end of Levaya, they would have mamados, they would have stopping and starting and stopping and starting if they would finish the Levaya. So the meaning by us is that we do those kinds of things before the actual Kvura, but it's not Chazal, they would do it afterwards. It's a meaning, the Talafi Minigam HaKomos, the Gemara itself says that even Mizmana Gemara wasn't a universal meaning, some places did it, some places didn't do it, fine. So they used to do these mamados. So the Gemara discusses the Shaila about what if you do a Levaya very, very late in the afternoon on Friday, and by the time you finish the Kvura, it's already Shabbos, and everyone's walking back to Rodav and Mayrav. So should you do these stops and starts? Again, the person's buried already. Should you stop and start and do this Seyd of Advarim on Shabbos or not? Shabbos, this is on Shabbos. So the Rishonim explained, you can do it on Shabbos also. Why? This is not Avelus. It's not doing Avelus. It's a minig. It's some kind of, something related to Misa, but it's not really a din of Avelus. So therefore, even though everybody knows what you're doing, that's not considered to be Avelus for Fahasya. That's Fahasya is only when there's something which is Zuchas Avelus that's being observed. So the Mechay Yosef, when that sugya quotes that and says, maybe that's the same idea when it comes to Mishana Makomo. And maybe it's okay for an oval to be Mishana Makomo on Shabbos, even though everybody realizes what he's doing. It doesn't matter. It's Nishkin Avelis. Harai, it's not Avelis. It applies for 2 weeks, not for 1 week. The whole thing doesn't fit. It's all part of that Yetzirah Pesach Beis, which is also not really an Issur of Avelis. It's a different kind of Aloha. So those kinds of dinim that are they're not rooted in Hilchos Avelus proper. They're just different Yehugim and Hugim that Chazal instituted in the context of Misa. So those kinds of things can be applied on Shabbos as well. That's what some Rishonim write. And other Poskim write, no, it's not true. And it's Avelus. It's subject to all the regular rules of Avelus, and if it's done for Hesia, it shouldn't be done on Shabbos. The only thing is that we're not really sure that it's for Hesia. Everybody knows where everybody sits in shul. So it depends on the shul. Some shuls, people have very exact seats. You see a guy two chairs over, you realize right away there's something wrong. Many shuls, it's a little bit more laid back. Sometimes people move their seats because they come late. Sometimes people move their seats, they don't like being under the air conditioning. People move their seats for a lot of reasons. So if you're in a shul where it's not such nicker, it's not so recognizable, the person is being nagav elus, so then it would be okay. But if it is recognizable, so then you shouldn't do it on Shabbos. So you have different opinions in the poskim. What's the din? Some poskim say that the oval should change his seat even on Shabbos because it's not Hilchos Avelus. Other poskim say he should only change it if it's for Hesia. And some poskim say we always have to be concerned it's for Hesia. Maybe you should never be changing your seat on Shabbos. Yesh v'yesh. I think that the more prevalent minhag b'zman hazeh is that the Avelim do change even on Shabbos, either because we assume it's not such a for Hesia or because we assume that it's not really part of Hilchos Avelus. Chapanaf Kamina between the two, we spoke about it the best. Chapanaf Kamina for the rabbi. Let's say you have the Rav sitting in the front, so everybody knows. If the Rav's going to sit a row away, everyone's going to realize that the Rav's in Avelus. Would that be okay enough? So if you hold that the reason why it's mutter to change your seat, or the reason why you should change your seat even on Shabbos, is because it's not really Avelus, so that didn't apply to the rabbi also. But if you hold that the reason why we're okay with changing the seat for a regular person is because it's not for Hesia, so that's case by case. So for the rabbi, it is for Hesia, so the rabbi really should not change his seat. So there are different minhagim about regular people. I think most people do change the seat. And there are different minhagim about the rabbi. It's quoted in the Sadeh Shulchan Aruch from Shlomo Eger. Shlomo Eger is the Kvega's son. So his notes are written on the margin of Sadeh Yerdei Chosavelos. So Shlomo Eger writes that after his father, after Rabbi Kvega died, so the second week after Shiva, apparently, during the week of Shiva, apparently they had a minyan even on Shabbos in the house. They said when he came to Shul, the next Shabbos, after Shiva was over, he was the rabbi now. His father died, so he was Yorish, the Rabbanus. So he wasn't sure, when he was going to come to Shul the second week, he wasn't sure where he should sit. He didn't know, should he sit in the front like the Rav, or should he move his seat, because he was still technically an Avelus. So he was back and forth. So what was his shayla? So he writes, his suffix was this Nakuda. He says, why is it that Avelim generally change their seat on Shabbos? So either some say because it's not Hilchos Avelus altogether, so if it's totally Mutter, and some said it's Mutter because it's not for Hesia. So he says, Chapsanaf Kamina, for him, it is going to be for Hesia. Everyone's going to realize, oh, the rabbi's not sitting in the rabbi's seat, it must be because he's an Avelus. On the other hand, if it's based on the reason why it's okay is because it's not Avelus, then it would be Mutter even for the rabbi. So Shlomo Eger writes that he wasn't sure what the din is. And he writes that he never had a chance to ask his father, B'chayah, what his father thought about the Shaila. That was too late. So he didn't know what to do. So he didn't come to Shul that Shabbos. That's what he writes. He says that he doesn't write whether we organize the minyan in the house or not. That's what he doesn't get into. But he says he didn't come to Shul because he didn't want to decide what the din was. After the second week, then he did come to Shul because after the second week, then it wasn't Mikra din anyway. So I get the impression that he didn't change his seat after that. But the din in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that the second week, you're not allowed to sit in your regular seat. So that din, he didn't want to tamper with it. He didn't want to play around. He wasn't trying to be Mechriya. So for that, he said it's better not to come to Shul. Okay, I think that the minhag most Rabbanim that I've seen is that the Rav also moves this seat a little bit, over a little bit, the Rav's over. Okay, I moved in the middle, I remember, for the year of Avela, so I put when I sit, kids on one side and the other side of me, but Shmuel will make a little bit of hacker that even for the Rav, I think that's what the Midrash most people do. So now that we've discussed the Surya Velos and the quasi Surya Velos, now we bridge really into the next topic, and that's the general status of Avelos and Shabbos, and eventually Avelos and Gantav as well. So what exactly are the garlands? What are the parameters for Avelos and Shabbos? Okay, as we said before, Gemara quotes the whole sug in the end of my katan about which Yisurim of Avelos should or should not be Noeg and Shabbos, and then when all the dust settles, we come up with a split. The way we pass in Shulchan Aruch, like those opinions, that there's a split between Avelos with Tzina versus Avelos with Hesya. The way some Rishonim read the Gemara would come out that there's no Avelos, some Rishonim said there would be Avelos. At the end of the day, this is how we pass in, that Avelos with Tzina is Noeg, and Avelos with Hesya is not Noeg. What exactly is considered to be Avelos with Tzina? What's considered to be Avelos with Hesya? So the Gemara gives you a few examples. So the Gemara says that some of the things that are very, very for Hesya, they draw a lot of attention to. Let's say you have Atipas HaRosh. This is one of the things we spoke about. The Avel, the Din and the Gemara is supposed to walk around with his head covered, with his face covered, with Atipas Yishmaelim. These are things that generally most people didn't do on normal, except for the Yishmael. The Arabs walked away that way. The Jews didn't walk away around that way, but an Avel is supposed to walk around that way. So the Gemara says that for him to walk around on Shabbos, he'd come to Shul on Shabbos with his face covered up like an Avel. So the Gemara says that's an example, something that you would not be permitted to do on Shabbos. Not just the Apotem. You're not allowed to do that. That would be Avelos of Hesya. Well, let's say the Gemara says Kriya Samita. So Kriya Samita is the fact that the beds are all flipped upside down. So that's an unbelievable Hesya. People are going to come and walk in and out of the house, and people are going to visit you, and they're going to see Gavalt. The guy's beds are upside down. It must be that that he's sitting Shiva now. That's also considered to be an Avelos of Hesya. Problem with these two applications that the Gemara gives is that neither of them are really noyik for us, because the Tipas HaRosh we don't really do, and Kriya Samita we don't really do. I mean, maybe we'll make a makeshift Kriya Samita covering the mirrors, those kinds of things, but in terms of the real, those two Dinim of Avelos we don't observe anymore. Atipas Yishmaelim, Atipas HaRosh we don't observe, the Rishonim pointed out, because we live in communities where if you see a guy doing Atifa, you're going to think it's Purim, you're going to think he's dressing up as an Arab. It's not going to give that impression of somberness, of serious mood. It's going to lead to a leitzanus. So the Rishonim said that whenever you have a niyug of avelus that accomplishes the exact opposite, it leads to joking rather than to seriousness. It's better not to do it altogether. That's where minig is in all the Eastern European countries. So the whole atipas harosh fell by the wayside. Kviya samita, we also said, fell by the wayside. Either because the way our beds are constructed, it doesn't make any sense, or the goyim used to think that the Jews were up to some witchcraft, all kinds of mice, different reasons. While the mice, we don't do kriya samita. So at the end of the day, we don't do either of these two niyugim. So it's going to be hard for us to test what the din should be, whether this should be considered to be for hesya or bitzina. The one thing that usually strikes us as being a real for hesya is the oval not wearing shoes. So it's interesting that that's the one case the Gemara says is not for hesya. The Gemara says that an oval not to wear shoes, that's not for hesya. Why? Because a lot of people don't wear shoes. People walk around, the guy can't afford shoes. The guy's walking around with the rags, the guy's walking around barefoot all the time. So the Gemara says that if you see a guy walking around barefoot, you don't necessarily think that he's an oval. So therefore, the oval on Shabbos should taka not wear shoes, because that would be considered back in Avelos of Tzina. So the Rosh already writes that that doesn't apply as much as that. Maybe in Bavel, 1500 years ago, people walked around without shoes. The Rosh writes, where I live in Germany, it's colder, so everyone's wearing shoes. So he said, if you see a guy walking around in his socks, so then Gavalt, that must be a sign of Avelos. We know probably most of us grew up in homes where they probably told you not allowed to walk around with socks, because you walk around socks, and not an Avelos, because that's like a Ayin Hara for being Avelos. So that Rosh has made it into our world. Namely, that you see a guy in socks, your immediate reaction is, the guy must be an Avelos. That's how we pass in Alach like this Rosh, because it's not that Chazal said that you have to wear no shoes on Shabbos. Chazal would misakain that the Avelos should be Tzina versus Fasya. You have to plug in according to each time and place, each culture, what's considered to be Tzina, what's considered to be Befasya. It's going to change according to the Metzias of the time and place. That's what Aminig is, that the Avel does not go with his bare feet, doesn't go with his socks on Shabbos. Let's say maybe one could argue that we should tell the Avel to wear sneakers. because wearing sneakers, no one's going to think that he's an avil right away. So the answer is no, people will. Who wears sneakers on Shabbos? Well, I shouldn't say that. Who wears sneakers on Shabbos? The guy walks to the shul with sneakers. So what's he going to think? Wait a second, what's the guy wearing sneakers for? So it must be that he's an avela. So that's what I'm meaning is we don't tell the avela to wear sneakers on Shabbos. Tell them to wear the regular Shabbos shoes. We consider that to be a chashash of avela for Fahesia. This idea that avelos for hesiv versus avelos for tzina is going to change according to time and place. So you see this explicitly in the Rishonim. The Rishonim discuss whether an avel should go to shul on Shabbos, because we said before there's an issur for an avel to be yotze b'pesach beso. So does that issur apply on Shabbos or not? So this already goes back to the days of Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon writes that there were different minhagim, different places in Bavel, different practices about this. Some cities permitted the avel to go to shul on Shabbos, and some places said that the avel shouldn't go to shul. Again, putting aside the kaddish, the other things we mentioned before. So some had the custom that the avelim go, and some had the custom that the avelim didn't go. So Rav Haigon writes, what are these two customs based on? He said, it's no great chachma, it's based on the size of the shul. He writes, it depends where you daven. If you daven in a little shtibel, he doesn't use the word shtibel, you daven in a little shtibel, there are 15 people in shul, so if one guy doesn't show up, everyone's going to realize he's not here, because he's in avelus. So that will draw attention. Whatever draws attention is called avelus b'fahasya. But if you have a tremendous shul, 1,000 people daven in the shul, so one guy doesn't show up, everyone will think he davened in the another minion. No one, first of all, no one's going to realize he's not there. They'll think he's davened in the Ashkar minion. He's going to have to for the next shul. No one's going to think twice about it. So you have a very, very large shul. You're not going to necessarily going to be missed. So then that would qualify as a veil for tzina. It's better for the avil not to come altogether. What the minigan shuls is that the avil do come to shul on Shabbos, either because the avil feel that they're going to be missed, then it's going to be a veil for hasya. Or for whatever reason, the minigas become, we don't make a base of a minion on Shabbos. So now the Avil Taka wants to come out to daven. So we said, according to many Rishonim, the Yisrael Yitzir Beso Beso wouldn't apply Bechlal even during the week under those circumstances. So the minigas in most of our communities that the Avil do come out on Shabbos, but Afa Bechain, they shouldn't be shmuzing. Guys in the middle of Shiva, so the Avil is Betzin is still knowing. No, we feel he has to shmuz. If he walks out of Shul right away, doesn't talk to anyone, that's going to be for Hesia. That would be for Hesia. People think he's going to a kiddush, he's going to another bar mitzvah, he's going somewhere. So when that, he should come right when davening starts, and he should leave when davening ends. Which the truth is what most, probably all of us should be doing, even when it's not in avelos. Whatever it is, that's another time, another place. So the avel should be cutting down on the social, that have to sit and socialize for hours after davening. He should walk into shul and daven and walk out of shul and finish. That's what the proper practice should be during avelos. Oh, so it's interesting. So if the simple reading of the Gemara is that if he's really in the privacy of his own home, and here we include privacy of his own home, meaning his family, that's also called private. That's called tzina. So the pashtus is that he should take off his shoes when he comes home. No wasting anymore. So he should walk around in slippers. So that's what the simple reading of the Gemara is. In Shulchan Aruch, that's not quoted. No, nobody is more than Shulchan Aruch, the Shachtas, nobody on the page makes this ha'ara. So we're not exactly sure why. The later post they don't exactly know why. From the simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds that way, but the Minigal element is not that way. We assume that when it's about shoes, that's for him to walk around the house without his shoes on, some of that's considered to be too much. Even though you're right, based on the pure din in terms of Tzina for Hesia, the din should probably be that way, but the Minigal element is clearly not that way. We have a couple of other nuances as to what the proper practice should be. Sometimes because there are certain things that we observe during avelos that are not absolute halachas, they're more of minhagim. So the question is, how do those things play out in terms of tzina versus fahesia? So one is what we referred to before, the kriyas amita. So we said that medina de gemara, kriyas amita is considered to be dvarim shel fahesia. We don't really have kriyas amita today, but according to some soif, other rabbis have this idea that the meaning of covering the mirrors is a throwback to the kriyas amita of old. Because the gemara says that the reason why you do kriyas amita, you cover over the bed, you flip over the bed, is because we're trying to highlight the fact that a person came into existence, derech peruvu, and now that the neshama has been taken away, so we're kofer the bed. We turn the bed over to show that the peruvu doesn't apply in this house right now, because the neshama has been taken away rather than brought into the world. So that's when the minute came, that since we cannot do kriyas amita for technical, logistical reasons, so we cover the mirrors. That's also an indication, like the neshama is covered over. You can't see it at Tzelem Elokim right now. The neshama is, the face of the person is covered over. If that's the case, so then just as in the days of the Gemara, when they did kriyas amita, so they would undo the mitas, they would make the mitas back again, on late Friday afternoon, because that would be Averso for Hasya. So too, when you, that should seem to indicate you should dafka uncover all the mirrors on Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, as you go around pulling off all the covers, because otherwise people are going to walk into the house potentially and they're going to say, oh, this is a base level, all the mirrors are covered. That's what it sounds like it should be. If you're a real lamdan, you follow the trail properly, the Kriyas HaMita is the same as the mirrors, the whole story, so then you should really undo the mirrors on Friday afternoon. I think Rabbi Shechter says that, I think based on this Rav, he says to say that I don't think that most people do that. I think that the minhag is that people leave the mirrors covered on Shabbos. What's the pshat? Either goes, maybe they don't point to social kutur. They hold that the reason why the mirrors are covered is not to do avelus. Some poskim say the reason why the mirror are covered is because you get a daven in the base level. So you don't want people to be davening to the reflections of the mirrors. So the minhag became to cover all the mirrors. Of course, wouldn't explain why you're covering the bathroom mirrors, but okay, that's a different story. Others have other reasons why they cover the mirrors, and maybe one could argue that covering the mirrors is not a din, it's a minhag. So as we said before by the Mishana Makomo, whatever is not an absolute din of Hilchos Avelos, like the minhagim of doing the mamados and the basic kvaros after the kvura, whatever is not an absolute din of Hilchos Avelos maybe isn't subject to the farhesia limitations as well. So whatever the reason is, the minhag has become to, I think most people do not uncover the mirrors. Am I correct? I don't think most people uncover the mirrors again on Friday afternoon. Even though based on the pure lumpness of where that minute came from, it probably would have been a chashash for Hesia. But I was sitting Shiva, so we had a little bit of a funny situation, because we were treating the whole house as the base oval for the week. So we covered all the mirrors in the, over here and over there from the bathroom. That was all considered, this whole part of our house. So on Shabbos, it came very mudden. I said, here, people are going to come down on Shabbos, and the mirrors in the shul are going to be covered. That just didn't look right. So I said, okay, so we'll uncover all the mirrors in the shul, but we kept all the mirrors in the house covered. So it was a little bit of a tactical disaster, but again, the whole thing is a minute anyway, so it doesn't seem such a terrible problem. Get back to that story. So the basic guidelines we have are, it's universal, but the actual implementation of the practical application is sometimes going to change according to the time and place. One of the areas of Hilchos Avelos, which is really a clear application of this principle, that what's for Hesi, what's Tzinah, is going to change, is in the realm of Talmud Torah. So we know that an Ovel is not permitted to learn Torah during the whole week of Shiva. But what exactly is considered to be included in Talmud Torah in terms of Tzinah versus Pahesia? So L'chora, the answer to this question is, depends. If he's B'tzinah, if he's learning in the privacy of his own home, that's called Tzinah. If he's learning in public in such a way that everyone's going to see, the guy's not learning, must be that he's an Ovel. 99% of the time it doesn't happen. Most people will think, the guy's not learning. He didn't come to the base marriage that day because he fell asleep. He's taking a nap. He's busy doing something else. So if you have a situation where he's not learning, he's going to draw unbelievable attention. Halavai, we should be at that level. That this guy's not learning. It must be that the only way to explain why he's not learning is in Avelos. So that would qualify as an Avelos for Hesia. So that's already a case-by-case basis. Did anybody ever meet those criteria? So there were some opinions that maintained that the whole Isser of learning Torah during Shiva doesn't apply b'chlal on Shabbos. Mordechai, that even B'tzinah, it's permissible for the Oval to learn Torah. Why is that? Based on the regular rules, it should apply at least B'tzinah. So the Mordechai writes that the Yisr of Talmud Torah is a different type of an Yisr than the other Yisri Avelos. The Yisr of Talmud Torah is really a Simcha Dika Yisr. It's not so much that the Oval's not allowed to wash, not allowed to wear shoes, not allowed to give shalom. That the Oval's not supposed to be in the state of Simcha. That would explain why he's allowed to learn other things. The Oval, during the week, even during the weekday, is permitted to learn the Eicha, the Chos Avelos, and Iyom, Yirmiyot, those parts which are sad. Just like on Tisha B'Av, the Oval's permitted to learn, because the Yisr of an Oval learning is not so much an Yisr of Talmud Torah. It's a din of a built-in simcha. He shouldn't be in the state of simcha. So the Mordechai writes, on Shabbos, he shouldn't be the simcha. He has to be the simcha on Shabbos. When it comes to Isuri Avelos, an Isser is an Isser. When it comes to a bittul simcha, Shabbos is supposed to be the simcha. So he should be learning on Shabbos. Business as usual, he should be learning even B'tzinah. So that's not quoted L'Halach and Shulchan Aruch. We don't pass like that. Some Achronim brought that back to life on Yontif. We'll talk about that hopefully later on. We get to Avelos and Yontif. But on Shabbos, we assume, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that an Oval Tach is not supposed to learn B'tzinah, but he is supposed to learn B'Fahesia. So the question is, what's considered to be B'tzinah, what's considered to be B'Fahesia? That becomes a little bit tricky. So the Rishonim write that an Ovel during the week of Shiva is not really supposed to get an Aliyah, because when he gets an Aliyah, so then he's supposed to, the Rosh writes that when you get an Aliyah, he's supposed to read along quietly with the Bakare, so he's going to be saying the words, mouthing the words when he's getting the Aliyah, that's going to be a Talmud Torah. So the Ovel's not supposed to learn. So the Poskim write that you shouldn't give the Ovel an Aliyah on Shabbos either, because the fact that he's not getting an Aliyah, that's not a Fahesia, that's not going to draw any tremendous attention to him. Just because he didn't get an Aliyah, he didn't get an Aliyah because it's not his week to get an Aliyah. So normally, if a guy doesn't get an Aliyah, that's not going to mean anything. But let's say the person is supposed to get the Aliyah. Let's say everybody's expecting him to get the Aliyah. Now all of a sudden comes a Shlishi and everyone's getting ready to this guy to get an Aliyah, and he doesn't get the Aliyah. Oh, Gaval, that's going to draw attention to the fact that he's an Avel, and that's going to be a potential violation of Avelus for Fahesia. So we'll have to see off the next week how this plays out. Lamaik. So what this is the Gabbai's handbook now. Well, at what point do we say that everyone's expecting him to get the Aliyah, and what point not? And that's ultimately going to be the guidelines as to what's called Siddur, what's called Fahesia. Next week.